Hey friend, it's Stephanie Radcliffe, your host of the Stories Begin at Home podcast. I'm a homeschool mom of five from Florida, fixing up a charming 1950s home in the center of our city, adventuring with my wildlings and embracing a natural learning, living is learning lifestyle. I know firsthand the overwhelm and informational overload that we can find ourselves in these days regarding education and parenting choices. I created this space so we could inhale and exhale together. We'll chat all things homeschool, natural learning, gentle and respectful parenting, and faith-filled motherhood. But don't let any of those terms deter you. We don't judge a book by its cover over here, and all are welcome. Let's embrace our unique family stories and grow in confidence as we learn to trust ourselves and our children. So grab your coffee or tea, listen as you do dishes or change another load of laundry. Take a deep breath, grab a pen, literal or figurative, and let's rewrite freedom, joy, and connection in our homes and homeschools. All stories begin somewhere. Let's make ours begin at home.
Friends, it's Steph, finally back. I appreciate your patience with me so, so much. With our amazing renovation life and all the adventures of homeschooling five children, getting these podcast episodes up can be quite spotty for me as it goes to the back burner. So I appreciate your patience because I truly, truly love these conversations and would rather have it rather have the work be spotty than not do it at all. So I so, so appreciate your patience with me. It was such a blast getting to chat several weeks ago with Lauren from Firefly Nature School over on Instagram and Lauren, Chickie and Rue over on Instagram, two of the three authors of Nature School and creators of the Wild Mag subscription. Stephanie Hathaway from Steph Hathaway Designs over on Instagram is the third author, by the way. I've enjoyed following these ladies on Instagram and being in the homeschool community with them, as well as collaborating with them for a few years now, and it was so fun connecting in this way. Their heart for adventure, nature, and home education is so pure and passionate. We chatted about their new book, Nature School, their why behind it, and what they hope it provides for families. We talk about so many of the benefits of being outside and creating a family culture centered around nature, curiosity, wonder, and adventure. Things like health, happiness, life skills, attention to details, taking risks, how it promotes independence and connection, relationships and teamwork, leadership, relaxation, peace, and so much more. We talk about setbacks for why it's so hard sometimes for us to get outside, such as pressure for academics instead, and how we often have a negative view of play even when we don't even realize it, forgetting its amazing benefits for learning and connection. Nature has all the core subjects and helps us make deeper connections with what we learn inside. We talk about how we often get a romanticized view of getting out in nature or different nature activities and therefore start to set unrealistic expectations for ourselves about these things, and we can get in our own heads and what we quote unquote think it should look like. This can cause us to shrink back from it. But instead, embracing what is and the challenges that come alongside it is part of the adventure and the life skills. We chatted about how to keep it simple, stay consistent, and just keep going, as we really believe creating this kind of family culture is so, so important, and all of the benefits outweigh the hurdles. I hope you enjoy listening as much as we did chatting, and be sure to check out Nature School. There's a link in the show notes for where you can get this amazing book. Also, be sure to check out Wild Mysteries podcast, which is Laura and Lauren's podcast, and Wild Mag, their monthly nature subscription. The links are also in the show notes. I'm excited to share. Here we go. One more thing. Something that helps this podcast and helps to spread the word so that other mamas looking for encouragement and natural learning, gentle parenting, and faith-filled motherhood can find us is by leaving a review. Scroll down past the episodes on your Apple Podcasts and you can find where to click for leaving a review. If you prefer Spotify, click on the three dots right under the Stories Begin at Home icon on the main show page and you can rate the show. I hope you can take the time to tell us what you're loving about the podcast, and I'm so thankful you take the time to do so. You can always share the show or a specific episode with a friend too. You can follow the show so you're notified when new episodes are published. And you can follow along over on Instagram at Stories Began at Home as I post when new episodes are published and share all things natural learning, gentle parenting, and faith-filled motherhood over there as well. You can also join the Stories Began at Home email list. I'm beyond thankful for your support. So for real this time, let's dive in to the episode. Hey ladies, thanks so much for coming on here today. I'm so excited to chat with you. Whoever wants to go first, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you live, what you do, and then how you came to write a book together.
You go first, Laura.
Okay. my name's Laura Stroop. I am from Springfield, Missouri, originally from Iowa. I've lived in Missouri, though, a really long time, so I consider myself a Missourian now, I guess, too. I have three kids, ages 5, 11, and 14. And we homeschool, of course, and we have nature school and do all the things. Lauren, do you want to go next and tell about yourself, and then we'll talk about the book?
Yeah. So I'm Lauren Giordano. I run Chickie and Roo. I live in Florida. I have two kids that I homeschool, ages 9 and 11, and we also have a nature club through our local co-op. We're a very nature-based family. And Laura and I met about 5 years ago and started working together on nature studies and unit studies and ecology lessons for kids that are available at our websites.
Yeah, we met on Instagram of all places and have actually never met in person, sadly.
I know. So sad. Mean,
only over that video chat. but yeah, we worked together for several years now, and I feel like we know each other. Like, I feel like you live next door. Like, I can run over and get a cup of sugar if I need it. But, yeah, so that kind of led into us writing the book together after having worked together for so long. So I'm thankful for the relationship and working with her.
Every month, a long time ago, it was called eBox, and then we changed the name to Wild Mag, but it is a monthly subscription of nature lessons, and we've been doing that together for 4 years, and then maybe 3 years ago, Stephanie Hathaway joined the team.
Yeah.
And is able to contribute so much more than we were doing before. And it's been amazing, the three of us working together.
That's awesome. I love that. So much fun. So it seems like what you're saying, like, it was just kind of like a natural progression almost for this new book that you guys have, Nature School. So tell us about Nature School, what you would want families to know about it, why you wrote it, some of your favorite things about the process of writing and creating it, and what you hope it inspires families to do.
I think most of all, we hope it inspires families to go outside and enjoy nature. obviously you can do the book, read the book inside, but you know, it talks about things that are found all over the world. So, it can be used by families, you know, internationally. It's not just one country or one continent that's focused on. So, I don't know, we just hope that it helps to connect people with nature, help them to get outside and explore nature, and really to enjoy nature. I think all of us really enjoy it and enjoy spending time in nature and want to share that and have others feel that same way.
Yeah.
I totally agree. So like Laura said, it's for a global audience. It covers 5 different biomes and the flora and fauna, climate, landscape, natural cycles, and processes therein. And it really was like a natural progression from what we were doing, because Laura is an excellent writer and Steph and I illustrate and design. So we just kind of put all of our talents and skills on the table together, and we're able to make a grown-up version of what we've been doing for years. I definitely second what Laura said, that it's the goal is to inspire families to go outside, to learn more about where they live and where they don't live, to have a deeper understanding and appreciation of nature and how everything works together and fits together.
Yeah, I love that.
For sure. I just found myself using the book as a reference the other day.
What?
I was like, oh my gosh, like I just use it like another book off the shelf, you know, that I have at home. And then I'm like, wait, like I wrote this.
Quote myself.
So I guess maybe can I like just copy it like straight out of the book since it was my work.
Don't plagiarize.
No copyright there.
Yeah.
Don't plagiarize your own book. So yeah, it's fun, and it's been kind of an inspiration. I think we hope it's an inspiration for others, but I think it's inspired us to do even more, I think, as far as helping families to get outside and enjoy nature, and inspire a lot of creativity, and, you know, giving us a direction kind of and where we want to go.
Yeah. So I feel like, especially in like the homeschool world, like we hear like get outside and nature like so often. So I'd love like to hear like why you feel like that is such a big topic. We talk about like why we feel like it's so important. And along those lines, like tell us about what it looks like, how you guys instill this in your family, and then how you would like encourage families to have a family culture centered around nature, curiosity, wonder, and discovery. You guys do that so well. I'd love to hear from you about how you do that in your own homes and encourage others.
Well, I haven't talked about this before, but for me, like being out in nature, the most important thing for me is I believe it's healthy. Like I believe it's so healthy. Once upon a time, humanity lived out in nature, right? We didn't have shoes and cars and roads and houses and things. And of course, there's totally different risks back then. But I think there's been a lot of literature coming out about recently about this kind of return to nature. People are discovering how healthy it really can be and for what reasons. And it's funny that we're doing like running all these scientific tests and publishing scientific papers about like, you should get in the sun and you should walk on the earth. Like, okay, so basic. It's like one day they write a scientific paper about why we should breathe oxygen. But I always feel better after having gone outside. It's a huge stress reliever when there's something difficult that you're going through in life. Sometimes just taking a walk is all you need to process it and feel better. But I really try to get my kids outside, not only for health and happiness, but I really think that it generates life skills, right? Mm-hmm. So like attention to detail, observing your surroundings, how to be safe, also taking risks, calculated risks, weighing risk versus benefit. Just it really promotes independence in children. And I think it helps them be stronger and smarter and test their skills and obviously understand and appreciate the world around them as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said. I don't have a whole lot to add to that. I did go for a walk yesterday after being outside all day at nature school, then came home and I went for a walk and took off my shoes to go for the walk. And that was amazing. I forget, you know, walking around in my, I mean, albeit they're chacos, you know, all day. So it's barely shoes, but taking them off and just feeling the grass under my feet. Oh my gosh. It was, I feel like just like this, not that I had a lot of weight to melt off, but I just felt so relaxed. Like the sun was shining, and you know, the birds were chirping and all the things. And and it was very relaxing. And I feel healthier, like you were saying, when I'm outside and I feel at peace. It's just an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say a quick short story. I feel like that ties into all that is I went to the Springs with My Wild and Free group several months ago. And it was just one of those times where, obviously the water is very cold at the Springs. And, at the time, my little one was, I don't know, maybe 15 months old. And it just was not shallow enough really for me to get in with her. And I didn't really have a good like raft for her to be in or anything. So I wasn't going to get in with her. I was going to just stay back, let my older ones go, or just kind of swim at the steps or whatever. But I was waiting for another mom. She was going to come back. And one of our groups, one of the tubes started floating down the Springs, and I didn't want it to get lost. Like I didn't want to lose it, and I had to go get it. So I asked my daughter, I mean, I wasn't going to go far and the current was not like far, but I had been really overwhelmed. Like the kids were kind of melting down and I was like not knowing what to do. I felt pulled in both directions of, okay, but my son wants to go. Do I have an adult to go with him? And then my little ones don't want to go and all of this. And then that happened. And I asked my 7-year-old, stand right here. I strapped baby in the stroller and I just like dove to get the raft. And that like shock of cold water was literally the best feeling in the entire world. I got out like a new woman. I was like, you got this. Like, this was the best. That's what I mean. People talking about cold showers, like when you're like dysregulated. I'm like, I just need to go dive in the Springs every time I'm up.
You feel like you can like lift a car afterwards. Yes. Or something. And when people, they do the ice swimming.
Yes.
No, thank you. But I applaud it.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds very cold.
Yes. It just made me think of that story because just reset the whole day. So
I don't know if this necessarily answers your question, but I want to say that one thing that I think sometimes holds people back from going outside is the feeling that maybe it's just play and it's not important. You know, I need to stay inside and do the math, or I need to stay inside and do the language arts or whatever it might be. And then why would I spend time outside near and let my kids play, you know? But like I see in our students every week, how important play is, like just to watch them and see. We've been in session for 5 weeks of the school year now, and just to see the relationships building, to see them working together, they're like forming community, which is like one of my goals for them, you know, over the course of the school year, which is why we do a whole school year and not just like, you know, short sessions, because friendships, you know, take a while to build. And and then play in the woods yesterday and on Tuesday was just like amazing. And I'm thinking, you know, this is play and this is important. They're not just playing. They are learning. They are learning so many social skills, and what a great environment for them to do it in. You know, there's so much inspiration for curiosity. They're creating, using their imaginations. And this is what I'm talking about, like kids ages 6 all the way up to 12. And they're playing together and they're getting along, you know, and the older ones are leading the way in most cases, sometimes not, but sometimes the little ones lead. But it was amazing to watch and so important.
Yeah.
Well, I totally agree.
Go ahead, Laura.
Play is imitation, right? Play is imitation of life. You're imitating what you have learned and you're applying it to a scenario with your imagination. So they are showing you what they've learned when they're playing, right? They're repeating
right
what they've learned. And I think naturally when kids are playing outside in nature, at least from what I've observed, you know, children are natural collectors. They want to find things and they will naturally, you know, collect a bunch of pine cones and line them up smallest to biggest. And they'll show you all of these skills that they have if you give them the chance to do it in their own creative way. And I think a really good point is that nature encompasses everything that is considered a core subject that we learn, right? Like math and art and language. And there's so much literature that goes back to nature. I mean, you can learn the core subjects inside and then apply them outside and make deeper connections.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay. Yes,
for sure.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask too, Laura, explain like your nature school.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sure. School of the Wild. It's, the kids come one day a week. It's almost exclusively homeschooled students. Once in a while, a traditional school student will be allowed to take a day off, you know, once a week to come and join us, but that doesn't happen very often. But, so we have 6 to 12 year olds, our explorers class on Tuesday and on Thursday, but they just come one of those days.
Okay.
And then, we have a kinder class for 4 through 6 on Tuesday and Thursday, and they come one of those days. And then we've added an adventurers class for 11 to 15 year olds this year. And it's on Wednesday. So we meet, you know, the kids come once a week, but I'm out there, 3 days a week. and those are the greatest days of the week, usually.
I love that. That's really cool. So like starting like small and basic, we talked a little bit about like why it might be kind of challenging or hard for families that maybe like aspire, maybe they're new homeschoolers and they don't really know like where to start, for example, on curriculum or family culture or like what they want their values to be. So what are practical tips or encouragement for hurdles to get outside and make adventure a part of their family culture? What would you say to people wanting to do that?
I think about that one for a second. Starting small and maybe, or start big. I mean, you don't have to start small, but something small that you could do is do your read aloud outside, or, you know, take your picnic blanket outside and have lunch outside during the day, or, you know, do your math outside, whatever. So do some school outside.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, playing outside is amazing. But one thing that I always recommend to people, because I feel like a lot of people are looking for answers to that question, and is joining but sometimes it's easier to just join one that's starting in progress, but a local nature exploration group or nature study group, or I think it's just really helpful when you have like that accountability, and you know, if it meets every week or it meets every other week or once a month or whatever. But when you become part of that group, then even if you don't feel like it that day, you kind of force yourself to go, and, you know, and it's always worthwhile. You know, you never come home thinking, oh man, I really wish we hadn't done that. it's always just the opposite. Like, I'm so glad we went. I was tired before we went. We got home now, and I feel like that was the greatest morning. You know, I'm so glad we did that. So I think that's always a good solution.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Also, I think some people have a romanticized view of what nature study is or could be, or what's expected of them when they associate an image in their mind with particular terms, like nature study, nature journal. It can feel overwhelming and intimidating, but I just recommend going into your own yard. Like Laura said, I used to just read out loud to my kids outside when they were very, very young. And we used to have a swing set, like a whole, you know, wooden play set, which we have since destroyed and turned into a chicken coop, which is awesome.
I was just going to say, but now you have the chickens.
Yeah, the chicken coop. But they would swing while I read, and I'm like shouting as they're, you know, yeah. And you think they're not paying attention, but they are, they're absorbing it. And they could get off the swing, you know, at 3 and 5 years old and just completely recount what I read the whole chapter. And it's like, wow, they're really soaking that in. I mean, I don't know. I think I'd be hard pressed to say that they would absorb that same content in the same way inside four walls. Like their mind would probably start to wander, or that they'd want to be busy with their hands or something. And maybe they wouldn't have really processed that and internalized it. But anyway, that was a tangent. Go in your own yard and observe the changes throughout the year. Pick a sit spot, one place near a tree or whatever you have in your own yard. And just, you know, you can set a timer for 15 minutes. You can go in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening, and just see what comes flying by, see how the landscape changes. Even if you don't have traditional seasons with, you know, snow and fall and deciduous trees, leaves changing colors, there are still changes to be seen. Different animals migrate, different animals breed, different plants bloom and die or fruit. There's always going to be something observable, and that's really doable. Like anyone can handle being in one spot for a few minutes consistently and noticing changes over time. And I think that really instills the observational skills and attention to detail and things like that. It's a good place to start.
I think that's such a good point. I don't know if I ever like really thought about that one of the reasons it can feel hurdlesome is that a word?
is
the romanticized view of it. And like, if there's, you know, meltdowns or problems, then it can start to feel like, well, this isn't how it was supposed to be, like, you know, but actually that's kind of not the point, but like we talked about the life skills.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Overcoming challenges is a huge benefit. Like anything worth doing in life usually is challenging. That's what makes it worth doing. Succeed in the challenge and you come out the other side going, wow, I did that. I am now more capable or stronger or smarter or whatever. How do you get that feeling if you are never put in an uncomfortable or challenging situation? Right. So welcome the challenges. Welcome the uncomfortability.
Yeah.
You'll get through it. And then you'll look back and be like, yeah, we did that. And then there's a story too, right?
There's always a story.
The best stories have a conflict. So that's a good feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, ladies, for coming on, and thank you for this encouragement and inspiration. I feel like it's just always so needed. I think maybe like coming back to my earlier thought about why I feel like homeschooling families talk about getting outside all the time. I feel like it is kind of like to combat just how Lauren, you touched on it a little bit of like the need we feel to go back to nature because of the being inside so much and technology and all of that. Not any of that is bad per se, but it's to make sure, you know, we're balancing that. And we just have we want to encourage families because we see the benefits. And I know for me, like when I was little, I did not like my mom, even to this day. Well, she's like, I can't believe you're like out there every week with your kids. You hated nature. Like, who are you? Who have you become? Like in such a good way. Cause I've grown so much because of homeschooling and because of getting out there with my kids. And so I'm all about encouraging families to dig in, and you guys are such an inspiration for that. So thanks so much.
Oh,
thank you very much. Yeah. And I will make sure that I tell people where they can get your book and find your shops and Wild Mag and your podcast. You guys have a podcast, Wild Mysteries, right?
Wild Mysteries.
We do. Hey. Okay. So I'll make sure I link all that so everybody can find you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.